Well, welcome back, folks, to the Vegas Confessions podcast. I'm your host, Jay, and in today's episode, 81, we're going to be recapping a lot of the different interviews I did while in Vegas on my past trip. And one thing I did that was pretty cool is I got a different perspective from different people at the collectors event. So I told you guys I went to the world's largest casino chip and collectors event in Las Vegas. So when I went, I got an interview with a gentleman by the name of Doug, who was the ex-president of the event at the time, and just still heavily involved, but very, very cool, and a very cool conversation. Lets us know how it all started and how he got involved. And then I go to a different perspective when I talk to one of the dealers, whose name is Tom, who was very down to earth. I talked to him a couple different times throughout the three-day event, and I told him, I was like, hey, do you mind if I chat with you a bit? I'd love to chat with you. And so this guy's story, let alone how he ended up involved with everything, now he's a part of the event, comes every year. And again, you're going to hear throughout these stories about, you know, how these people got involved and how pretty similar the different stories are, that the community and how cool it is and how they all just know each other and have grown over the years. So that's really neat. That was a really cool perspective. And then I change it up and I get a perspective of somebody who's probably the most serious collector that was there. Now, this guy was somebody, when I noticed him the first day, he had like these glasses on with like different lenses so he can like zoom in. They look like some very interesting glasses, but he knew what he was looking for, paying attention to detail. He was a serious collector. He's been doing this for years. So every time I went to a different booth, I'd notice this guy and I'd see him sitting there in a chair going through binders of chips and stuff and looking for different chips. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna chat with this dude. And this guy gave us one of the coolest interviews ever, guys. I also include the interview I did over at Luciano's Bistro with Janelle and her son Pierce. Very down-to-earth people. The conversation was awesome. And again, a little backstory to this place. Located right next door to Green Bay Packer Bar. And you guys know me, Chicago Bears fan. So you'll hear why this is important through the story. But check out the way they had to open recently. That's how they had to come in and get themselves acclimated. And now they're ready to go. And they're looking forward to feeding people for years ahead. So again, very cool people. I had a lot of fun at this place. And then to top it off, I also add another interview where me and Kelly head over to Dirt Dog and go interview the manager, Jose. Again, so many cool things throughout this interview. And man, we laugh our ass off through all of these interviews. It's so much fun, guys. Enjoy the interviews. And again, if you enjoy any part of this podcast, make sure you share it and are letting people know about it. It'd be much appreciated. All right, but that's enough of me talking. Let's just kick the intro so we can get into everything already. Let's go.
Hey there, everyone. This is Nat Bridger, and you are listening to the Vegas Confessions podcast.
Didn't we go to my favorite dive bar before that? We went Double Down.
Double Down Saloon. Yeah, we had some ash juice.
I am all about ash juice. Yeah.
You guys need to go check that room. There's like a dead guy in the bed. The lady at the counter says, "Well, we'll call housekeeping." What's housekeeping?
Jay's never met an asshole he didn't like.
Shout out to the guy at third base at the blackjack table I was at last, who was obviously trying to keep a high-low count, but was mouthing the numbers as the cards were being turned over.
Be careful what you say, because we can have you whacked.
Okay, I'm Nicky Firmich, and you're listening to the Vegas Confessions podcast.
So again, folks, I do want to start off the top of the show with some shout-outs. The first shout-outs goes to Mike Rogers, who's been reaching out and just kind of sharing some, you know, feedback to me and just giving me some, you know, opinions on what I'm doing and things I have going on and just, you know, just giving me some positive feedback, letting me know, you know, hey, I'm really feeling like I'm a part of the trip with you, so I'm enjoying the recapping of the trip. So again, I appreciate it, man. It means a lot. He even shared us out on Instagram and stuff. So again, thank you. We're not big on Instagram. We just started it recently, so it meant a lot. I really do appreciate it, Mike. And I also have to give another one out to our buddy Graham over from the Chefdemoni podcast, who had us on his recent episode 55, where it's all about Las Vegas food and different places to check out. So the kicker to this show was it was different Las Vegas folks calling in. So you have people from podcasts, people from blogs, people from YouTube channels that call in and give their different recommendations of places for you to check out. So that's a really good listen. And again, I let you guys know my favorite spot in town, and we also add a couple of other awesome places to check out for you. So again, guys, definitely check out the Chef Timoni podcast. And again, Graham, thanks for having us on, man. That means a lot. Now, let's roll into some Patreon shout-outs. So I do want to give a huge shout-out to all of our Patreon members and supporters of the podcast here. Again, you guys are awesome. It means a lot. Eric Rosenthal, David Sowell, Taylor Jew, Neil Macedo, Rodney Kelly, Michael Traeger, Scott Jarvis, and Travis Atherton. Again, folks, thank you so much. Much appreciated. It means a lot. And again, folks, if you guys are curious how you can get your name shouted out here on the podcast and mentioned in the YouTube videos, definitely check out our Patreon memberships where you can have access to all of the content early and get some extra perks by, you know, getting your names mentioned in the show. And again, it's one way for you guys to help support the work that we're doing here while we try to give a little something back on both sides of the podcast here, both videos and audio. So again, just a little way of saying thank you, guys. So before we jump into the interviews, I do gotta mention real quick, it has been announced that September 8th, which is pretty soon here, is gonna be the official reopening for Main Street Station Casino. So finally that casino can open up, and you know, that's one of the last places that, you know, needs to open up, and there's a couple more, but you know, that's pretty exciting for Main Street to get back open. And we'll see if I can sneak my way out there. And from what I heard, I hear their buffet is gonna be open, so that may be a pretty big selling point for the locals to get back and people to check out the place. Because I've heard some pretty good things and some pretty bad things. So, you know, it's got its mix. All right, so the first person we're starting off with for the interviews is going to be Doug. Doug is the ex-president of the whole event. And again, I'm talking about the largest casino chip and collectibles event where you can go out there and find anything you could imagine. Throughout these interviews, you hear things about, you know, how these people all meet frequently, how they got involved, and some of the cool backstories that go behind it. So let's do it. Alrighty, guys. So we are back here, and in the first day that I got here, obviously you guys know I ask questions. So I present to you guys Doug. Doug was one who gave me the rundown of everything day one, and I loved it. I was like, oh yeah, I'm hunting you down the rest of this event. So Doug, can you give people an idea how long this has been going, when it started, where it started, because that blew my mind when you said that, and you know, how you got hooked on it?
Well, this is our 28th convention.
Okay.
We've always been in Vegas. We started at the Aladdin in the early 90s, 93, I believe.
Wow.
A couple of years at the Aladdin, then we went to the Riviera, or Tropicana, then New Orleans, ended up at the Tropicana, Orleans, Riviera, and then the South Point. So now this is our 12th year at the South Point.
Okay.
This is our last year of our contract, we're hoping. The South Point here.
Okay.
We'd love to continue, but South Point's booming these days.
Yeah. Oh,
tournaments,
yeah.
And everything.
Oh, yeah.
So we might end up at someplace else, but we'd love to remain at South Point.
Okay.
It's just, as advertised, it's the world's largest gaming collectible show.
Yes, it is. That indeed. And I said earlier, like, I didn't know what to expect coming here. I thought it was just a chip collection. And so getting here and seeing everything else, walking out the first day, $400 less in my pocket, I'm like, what else can I find now? You know,
I remember the first day I got here, I never brought enough money.
Yes.
If you can bring $10,000 of it, you could spend that.
Yeah.
But there's also stuff that costs like $1.50.
There's
a lot of free tables here. Free stuff.
It's like a scavenger hunt.
It is. And yes, whether you collect dice, chips, or matchbooks, or slot cards, or playing cards. I mean, everything's here.
Everything.
It's amazing what you find. There's a guy over there selling, I think, toilet seats that's got casino collectibles on it. So.
Listen, I was amazed yesterday. I found a bag full of sanitation wipes from the old school casinos. Yeah. I was like, wow.
They all issue them out. You know,
amazing. Yeah.
It's funny, a couple of years ago, I went to dinner with a group of collectors.
Yeah.
And I think they completely took everything off the table. You know, there was the Keno card things in the middle have got the names on it. People were taking silverware. They were taking the crayons. They were taking the menus. People collect anything and everything that's got a casino name on it is collectible.
This is very neat. Again, I wanted to have you on, talk more about it, let people know more about it. Can you tell us how you got hooked on this and when you got involved?
I started, it was way before I was a collector. I played poker.
Okay.
And so I used to collect a casino chip from every place to play poker just as a souvenir.
Okay.
And then I, somebody emailed me, and I found out through his fellow collectors.
Yeah.
And then they turned me on to the show, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. There's thousands of people just like me to collect stuff, and boom, I was hooked. Yeah. I mean, it is really, for people who've never experienced it, it's an eye-opening event.
It really is.
And even this year, it's kind of down because of the COVID stuff. It's just coming back, but some of the years has been double what we've had here before.
And you guys said that. You guys didn't expect a big crowd because of COVID, but seriously, the items that people can have access to is unlimited. Casino items, I mean, galore. And that's why I think it was really key to have you on, to give people a little history of the event, how it started, where it started, why you got hooked on it. But I think the biggest take from me of this whole event is the connections you make. Off the back, you walk up to a table, and I was joking with my buddies earlier about the first day I walked up to a few tables, and everybody said, "Hey, Julian." And at first, I'm like, how do they know my name, right? I forgot I had the name tag right? But after a while, it's, "Hey, Julian, how you?" They remember, and you're going back, and you're learning where they're from. Yeah, it's really neat. A lot of networking.
And the people in this hobby, I've been involved with a lot of hobbies. I did sports cards, I did coins, I did all kinds of other stuff in the past.
Yeah.
But the people in this hobby are probably some of the most generous people I've ever met. People are willing to help out, give you advice, send you. They find out you're a new member, they're going to send you chips.
Yeah.
I mean, I run the raffle every year.
Uh-huh.
You saw how many raffle stuff. All that stuff is donated. I mean, I got 6,000-7,000 chips and all this other stuff. Just people donate stuff for free.
And tell them how long it takes you to put those bags together.
Probably spend 2 or 3 days putting stuff together. I had 20 priority boxes shipped to me to make all these bags up.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. But it's a huge fundraiser for the club. Each year, you know, we raise $4,000 or $5,000 for the club, and it helps us put on this show.
What's neat is everybody's involved too. They're like, hey, put these in the raffle.
Right,
like, that's
exactly.
Cool. It's not just you trying to find stuff and dig in. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So again, Doug, is there anything you would like to tell people coming interested in this event?
We're going to continue the show for as long as I know. It's always it's always going to be the third week of June.
Okay.
It's always going to be in Vegas. I'm hoping it's going to remain at South Point. We will definitely be here next year.
Okay.
But after that, hopefully we'll be here or somewhere real similar. But we'll let everybody know. But always going to be pretty much third week of June.
Perfect. Doug, thank you for the time. Thank you for doing this. And thank you for having me, man. This is an honor. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So now we're going to talk to Tom. Tom is somebody, like I said, that, you know, this kind of stuff just kind of fell into his lap, and he's been in the industry ever since. And just, I stopped and talked to Tom, I think, 2-3 times throughout this event, because he was just really, really cool. So let's talk to Tom.
I told you guys I was going to set up some interviews, and I've talked to a few people this week, just being here in the event, and this is the gentleman named Tom who I've discovered this week. Tom has been very, very helpful in learning a lot of this stuff, because as you guys know, it's my first time. So, Tom, can you tell us a little about how the event works? I was telling them, the people who are the quote-unquote vendors, they're more considered a dealer, right? Is that correct? Okay. So can you explain how the process works and how a first time what that experience would look like for a first timer?
Well, you know, don't be scared. Everybody's welcome here, and there's no dumb questions. The more questions you ask, the more you learn about what's going on in here. You'll help educate yourself to find out if this is a hobby for you, or just being a little bit of a part-time collector, or just somebody looking for maybe a piece of a memorabilia for the Vegas.
Right.
And it's can be overwhelming, but don't let it be. And that's where you just really got to be relaxed, take your time. If you don't see it all, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know?
You hit that on the head, because when I walked in the first day, I was telling my buddy, oh, I'm going to get everything recorded. All I did was talk to people. And that's one of the cool things about coming out here, especially if you don't know about how it all works and people collect swizzle sticks to napkins, and you're like, are you serious? Like, I saw one bag full of sanitation cloths, cleaning wipes. I'm like, what? Like, I've seen it all this weekend. And so I thought, you know what? What would be better than to have some of the dealers on, explain a little bit about how the event works. And so you being super talkative, dude, I really appreciate you coming on. So what's the most expensive thing you've seen at one of these events?
Ooh, years past, we've had some chips that sell for in the range I think the highest one that I know was close to maybe $60,000-$70,000 for a single chip.
Wow. Yeah, yesterday walking over to a table and seeing some of those chips, I'm like, whoa, yeah, you don't realize, you know, especially if you've never been or collected, that there is some valuable things out there. And the even cooler part for me is talking to you people. And so when you start talking, you start talking about their backstory and how they got into it. And so can you tell us a little bit about how you got into it?
As probably most people did, they thought they were the only chip collector.
Yeah.
And they probably got down to their last chip on an early trip to Vegas. And so that's how I did it. I just stuck it in my pocket and I just needed to take something home and it wasn't cash. So I just took the chip home. And then when I started dating my wife, her father-in-law, which started this particular business, I saw in the office that he was had a lot of chips. And so I started inquiring about it, and I mentioned I had a chip, and I brought it to him. He just told me what I had and let me know that had a value of about $35 for a $1 chip.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I'm kind of interested. And that kind of just started me collecting. He started me, and my collection is pretty easygoing.
Okay.
I collected things that I felt that were affordable to me. I do not spend big money personally.
Yeah.
And it's things that I like. And I like the older ones. I like some of the mold designs.
Okay.
Not necessarily casino specific, but the older ones seemed like they had just a little bit more character.
Yeah.
Probably had some kind of mysterious story attached to it.
Yeah.
So that's what got me.
And that's the other really cool thing. Every item has a story.
Yeah.
That's what blows my mind. They tell you where they got it from, how they acquired it, or how long it took them to find it. So I think this is really, really neat. I appreciate you coming on. I want to spread the good word and just help people help me understand more about it, so that way the listeners and viewers can know what to expect coming to this.
My pleasure, and thank you for doing what you're doing, because you know it's a nice hobby. It's a fun hobby. I threw a big number out to you guys, but don't let that frighten you, because that's just a super odd entity. It can be very affordable.
Right. And that's the magnitude of some people, the appreciation of, you know, the collectibles. They will spend the money, and some are just looking for easy little simple things. So, it does range. But, yeah, it's not only chips, and that's what I came into this thinking. Oh, it's only casino chips. No. And then meeting the gentleman from Pawn Stars, Mark, that was really cool. So there's just plenty of bonuses to come into these events. And not only that, like I said, people walk by your booth and you guys already know them by first name basis, not by the name tag. Yeah, you guys have that down. Hey, Jerry, how you doing? And I think that's so neat. So something like this, I could see myself coming back to just because of, you know, the conversations and the connections we're making. So I, again, appreciate you coming
Excellent,
on, man.
I appreciate you.
We'll see you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Okay, so now that we've heard from a dealer's perspective of somebody who's, you know, selling some of the collectibles and trades and does some of that stuff, let's talk to somebody who's a collector of the event. So let's check out Kale's story. And this guy, he was a blast, man. He was a lot more social than I thought he was, because, you know, every time I seen him, he was just looking down, real serious with everything. And this dude ended up to be one of the nicest guys throughout the whole event. Guys, I present to you Kale.
Alrighty, guys, so I told you, I've been following this guy around for the last couple of days. If somebody's serious about collecting, it's this gentleman right here. I want to thank you, brother. Kale, you've been on it. I've been watching you. I know you look for certain things, and you're very into it. So I wanted to ask you, what kind of stuff do you look for? What should you be looking out for?
I collect $1 chips from Nevada.
Okay.
I got started. I live in Boise.
Okay.
I took my first trip to Jackpot, Nevada.
Okay.
And three of the casinos that were there all had chips.
Yeah.
Never heard of any of them.
Okay.
So I just kept one from each place. A couple of years later, made my first trip to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Each one of those casinos had their own different chips. And yesterday I passed the 1,500 chip mark. So I'm now over 1,500 different $1 chips from Nevada.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So do you feel like you've made a dent yet or no? You still have a lot more to go or no?
Oh, I've still got. I will always have some kind of a want list.
Yeah.
They're just, some of them are, there's one that's made maybe when I'm 80. Okay,
yeah, right, yeah.
Or, you know, there's some that they want $1,000 for.
Yeah.
So I just...
It's hard, yeah.
Not yet.
And that's what I always jokingly like, oh, I want to get out to Vegas every time. So I come pretty often, and okay. I like to try to hit the different casinos, right? Mm-hmm. So before this event, I never knew this kind of thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, I want to go casino hop, check out all the different places. Always my goal. Never complete my trips. Never can I ever hit all the casinos. There's just too many.
Right.
Never enough time.
Exactly.
Always sidetracked. Mm-hmm. So I thought, hey, talking to you, finding out a little more about what you do, what you were looking for, and what you're looking into would have been pretty cool. How long have you been doing this?
The trip to Jackpot was 1997.
Oh, okay.
I just moved to Boise. And somebody said, hey, we got a weekend. Let's go down to Jackpot.
Yeah.
Have some fun down there. I joined the club. I think it's been 15 years now.
Wow. Okay.
And I just happened to, you know, search out on goofing off on the internet and found a couple of websites that also... did chips, and that's how I found out about the convention and the club.
So what would you say to a first-timer or somebody who's never been in, who's never made it to the event but is interested, what would you recommend they come, why they should come down or what they would witness or experience?
When you first come in, it's eye candy. It's like your first time driving down the Las Vegas Strip. You know, it's almost overwhelming.
Fourth person a day to use that word, and you hit it on the head. I said it day one. It's overwhelming. You're absolutely right.
My wife would know what the exact term of it is, but it's sensory overload.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there it is.
So before you come and go through, decide if you want to be a collector or not.
Okay.
And maybe on your first, you know, come in for one day.
Yeah.
Decide if you want to stay for another day.
Mm-hmm.
And just wander.
Yeah.
Just saunter around, because if it's got a casino's name on it, somebody collects it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The chips are the most popular.
Right.
Matchbooks are very popular. Ashtrays are. And I mean, it's gonna swizzle little swizzle sticks from the old casinos. There's people who collect the china, and the dealer aprons and all of that.
Yeah.
There's just something that you probably will find that's just gonna tickle your fancy.
And I've mentioned it to a couple other people I've interviewed about. When I came to this event, I thought it was just a chip show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was in a world of surprise, boy.
Yeah. And there are people who will go, you know, as a kid, we always stayed at the Sands.
Yes, right.
We always stayed at the Dunes or something. So they collect just that casino.
Memorabilia, yeah.
And put them out just from that place. So, you know, if you're a first time coming through, it's going to be here.
Yes, yeah.
And if it isn't, then it's because it's locked up in a collection and they don't want it to sell.
So on that topic, I want to finish with... The networking connections you make here with the people, because one thing I noticed, especially you walking up to the tables, you're always like, hey, how you doing? But even multiple dealers, when people walk up to the table, regardless of the name badge, they know them by name. Hey, Jerry, how you doing? And how you been? And so I get that a lot of the people are repeat visitors, but we are seeing a lot of new people who've never even heard of the event. So that's why I think it was super crucial to talk to people, find out more about it.
I was volunteered for the 3 days the day before behind the registration counter.
Mm-hmm.
And just today, before 11 o'clock or so, for people who just were coming in today, maybe had never heard of it, it was a stack of registration forms about that high.
Yeah.
You know, and the day before it was like that, and the first day it was like that.
So it's neat that new people are coming, but I think that the bigger part is what's available here is from all over the place. So you're gonna find stuff from everywhere.
Another good place to look if you want to stay in your living room before you figure it out, there's a virtual museum.
Okay.
It's called the Museum of Gaming History.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Google it or however you want to find it. There is a chip guide. It's okay. Called the Chip Guide.
Uh-huh.
If you look at the very top menu, it'll be a drop down in there. I'm one of the administrators for it.
Okay.
So that's why I'm bright yellow for it. But they have, you can open up any casino around the United States and completely around the world.
Yeah.
And you can, there's chips, there's ashtrays. And so we try to get at least some kind of a picture or a drawing of something from wherever somebody had a casino. There is the number, I think there's like right now over 500,000 different things.
Wow.
And if you want to go way down the rabbit hole, you've got plenty of time to kill for a day, or you know, maybe you found something, you know.
You want to know more about
the best friend of my wife's grandmother.
Yeah.
Her husband passed away.
Oh, okay.
So she was going to move in with her daughter.
Oh, okay.
While cleaning out, she happened to stumble across an old 25-cent chip from the Golden Gate Club.
Wow. Okay.
Now, it's still there. It's the Golden Gate Casino.
Right.
But it stopped being a club sometime in the 60s.
Yes.
So she sent it to me, and it's the Cadillac of 25-cent.
Really?
Chips.
Okay.
She just, it happened to, you know, throw it in a drawer one day.
Yeah.
And I came in here and got $675 for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I just turned around and she said, let's split it. And I went, you know what? You're 88 years old.
Yeah.
I know things aren't the best for you here.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have this yesterday.
Yeah, right.
You may not have it tomorrow,
right.
But you got it today.
That's a perfect example. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And there's, you know, I'd been collecting for a good 10 plus years at that point.
Yeah.
And so even then, I wasn't sure who I was going to go to wandering around, you know, a floor like this on where I should go. But eventually, somebody found it, somebody looked at it and said, that I want that.
Right.
We worked out a price.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for coming on. I think this is a perfect interview and emphasizes on, hey, no matter where you're from, any part of the nation, you come here, you're going to find something from your area at least. Like, there's so many different casinos from everywhere. I'm realizing chips from different states and so much at your grasp.
There's people who collect the old BPOE chips.
Yeah.
There's Indian casinos that have that. I couldn't believe when I clicked on Idaho, it was just this list that goes through. And I'm like, wait a minute. They outlawed gambling in like 53, I think. So how are all these chips around?
Yeah.
So,
Kale, this is awesome. Appreciate the time. Thank you for coming on and helping us know more and learn more about the event, brother. We'll see you next year.
Julian, it was my honor. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Hey, seriously.
How awesome is that, right? I mean, just talk about a perfect example of a good dude with some cool stories, and I can see why he's still stuck in the same hobby. Very cool, Kale. Very, very cool. So now we jump over to Luciano's Bistro, where I head over and I get to meet the owner, Janelle, and her son, Pierce, who is 16 and cooking when I walk in the place. And this was very cool because I got to know a little more of how they got their start. And, you know, this is a really cool story, and they're just a blast to hang out with. And even, like I said, this is my first time visiting, and she even broke my balls a few times. I told you guys I'm a Bears fan. Watch what she says in this interview.
Alrighty, guys. So I told you, as promised, I had more places to visit this week. And I told you that the trip got extended. I decided to make my first visit today. It was Luciano's Bistro, which I told you about. I told you they were listening to the episodes. They were listening to the show. They reached out, said they enjoyed it. What a better way to show support than to pop into the damn place. And here we are. guys, thank you for having us down. I'm excited. It was really cool to come down, meet you guys for one, try the product too, and then just, you know, see it all, get your guys' story, background. I'm glad to come down, learn more about you guys. So tell us a little more about the business, how long you guys, because that's an interesting story, which you guys have taught me.
So we opened about 3 months ago,
yeah.
I think. About 3 or 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm. February.
And we're family owned.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've been doing this all as a family. So it comes with the pros and cons.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's smart. I like that. And do me a favor, guys. Introduce yourself, your names. That way we get your guys' names as well. Go ahead, brother.
My name is Pierce.
Pierce, tell us how old you are, because that's kind of key.
I am 16.
16 and working.
And I'm Janelle, and I'm 41, because today's my birthday.
Happy birthday. So I'm glad I came down here, because not only did I want to try stuff, but I want to pick your guys' brain, right? I like going around town. I like finding out people's story, what they like to do on their time off, because then what I do is I end up doing that so the viewers can see. So if they say, hey, you should check out this bar, I go there all the time. I don't even really drink, but I'm gonna go down to the bar just to go check it out and see what it's about. See if I could see myself down there. Or, hey, there's this really killer food spot, hole in the wall, you guys should check out. I'll go down there, and that way the listeners can see, or the viewers and subscribers, they can come out and see, oh, well, that did look good. I might make that a part of my trip next time. So I did wanna come down, find out a little more about you guys. The business just opened. You mentioned something earlier that was really key about the timing of the opening, you know, during the pandemic, yeah. And stuff, which was neat. Can you explain that one again? Like, that was a cool story.
So we opened in February, mm-hmm. which still there was no dine-in.
Yeah.
And it was, everybody thought we were crazy that we opened during a pandemic, which it was.
Yeah.
But it was cool because we got to focus on the ordering, the to-go orders.
Yeah. The basics.
And
yeah.
Then when the restrictions lifted, we then got to focus on the dine-in.
Inside, yeah.
So we're still working on that.
Yeah.
It's still a work in progress. It's only been, what, 15 days or 21
yeah.
days?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it was cool because we got to... Normally, when you open a business, you got to kind of do
go.
Everything.
Right.
Full
yeah.
go.
Right, right.
And we got to... It took advantage of it.
That's
to
good.
Do that, yeah.
So what would you say, Pierre, some of the coolest things you've learned so far from working in the restaurant industry? Obviously, you're still 16. You got a long way to go. But what are some of the cool things that you picked up along the way already?
I think some of the coolest things that I've learned is how to toss a pizza
yeah.
and spin it in the air.
Yeah.
What are some other things I've learned?
Working with your mom is a big problem.
And challenge.
It's a challenge. And as a family, we work
similar.
We have yeah. to work on this.
Yeah.
But we do, yeah, we, me and him are very similar people.
Yeah. And I told your mom earlier, I was like, hey, just listening from the way she talks to you guys and she trains you guys, and I've been in the restaurant industry, you know, a long time. I'm a chef as well. I've been doing this a long time. So, you know, learning the little quirks and, you know, making sure you can make adjustments and learning from mistakes and stuff, that's all key. Constructive criticism from other people, that stuff you got to take with a grain of salt, right? Like, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes people are going to be like, I don't like the way you did this. But 99% of the people are going to be happy with the way you're doing things, right? And that's how you put your head down comfy at night. If you can give them a good service, give them a great product, they leave happy, they'll be back. Like, that's just the ultimate goal in the restaurant game. And I've learned that, you know what? Customers, dealing with customers is the biggest thing, because you can make or break yourself by, you know, not treating the customers right or not being super willing to take care of them or go over the top or put that extra sausage on the pizza that you know they didn't think they were gonna get. Just the small things go a long way, right? So, and especially when you're a mom and pop shop like this, getting your reputation and your name out there and getting yourself known starts in-house, right?
So I don't agree with your statement.
Really?
In a sense.
Yeah, okay.
Part of, I do agree with
okay.
a lot of it.
Okay.
You are supposed to, 99% of the people, you're supposed to take care of and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the 1%, they're going to tell you what you did wrong, and they're going to be super honest about it,
yeah.
and that's how you grow.
But, and,
the
no, that's,
failures.
No, that's what I
yeah.
mean. You got to
okay.
take that constructive
I didn't mean
criticism.
I was arguing with
no,
you.
No, 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 let's argue now, damn it. Yeah, no, but that's how it works, right? Yes, you're not going to like it. Sometimes you're going to be like, nope, that's just the way I do it, and now it's not going to change you. But sometimes you're going to be like, all right, well, let me try it. And then
yeah.
it may or may not work. But you're absolutely right. If you don't listen, How are you going to get better? How are you going to change? How are you going to adjust? And if you're not going to adjust, that person's not coming back. That's just the big picture. So I think that's key, but I do. I think it's really cool that you guys are working together, mom, daughter, son. You guys are all making it work. And as rough as it is in the beginning, it only gets smoother. Believe me.
It does. It'll
get a lot smoother. But like everything, if some days may be rough, but then you're going to realize there's a lot of days where everybody just starts doing their position. Everything goes in a motion, and you're just cooking. You know, you're just cooking and calling out. Pizza's being called out to you. You're turning around, doing your job, calling them when they're up, you know, stuff like that. Everything else gets easier. Everything starts falling into place. So it's all about working together, as tough as it is in the beginning. It becomes a cakewalk later. And so I know your dad has a lot of experience. He's been doing this for a while, and that's how it starts. He'll tell you the same thing, like, hey, you got to crawl before you walk, right? And so that's a big part of learning, right? So, and customers, when they're right in front of you, can be hard, because in some restaurants, the cooks don't even see them. The chefs don't see the people. So when
we're very transparent, when
you're right in front, it can be a little intimidating, you know, when they are rude or it doesn't, you know, come out the right way when they word something to you. So sometimes it's about biting your tongue and saying, hey, all right, let's see if we can make an adjustment or whatever it may be.
Our customers are pretty nice. Yeah. You know what?
Well, there's always that one, yeah.
It's how you treat people.
It really is. That starts at the door.
It does.
And that's always my big saying is like, hey, you can kill them with kindness from the moment they walk in to the moment they leave, they're coming back.
Have you ever walked in a place and it felt like they were doing you a favor as a customer? I can't stand that. I apologize over and over that I'm being negative right now. That drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I know we go over above and beyond, and it's the training I got for many years working with Tony Shea. And by the way, totally go to Zappos. I told you that.
Yes,
you definitely need to get into the history of that.
I love that.
Tony was a big mentor to me. Yeah. I'm a big fan. Nice. Unfortunately, he's no longer here, but he taught me so much, and I'm so thankful for that, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, I see a lot of potential here. You know, there's a lot of potential here. So again, I just want to thank you guys for inviting me out. I mean, seriously, this was really cool, and to chat with you, we've been chatting a lot, and I think that's what's really neat is everybody has a lot in common, especially the people I cross paths with. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff we can relate on working in the restaurant industry and stuff, but the big picture sweet spot for me is being able to come down, meet you, try your product, and being able to go back home and show these guys, hey, this is what it was like, this is what I thought about the place. So I think it's really neat that you guys invited us, and I do. I want to thank you guys. And again, buddy, as rough as it can be sometimes, it gets a lot smoother, man. It really does. It becomes a lot more fun. It becomes a lot more, you know, less thought process and just more mechanics and doing and doing and doing, right? So,
are you going to go check out the bar next door?
Interview ends here. You know why she said that, right? You know why she said that. And guys, I will shit you not. It's first time we're meeting, okay? Like, I'm telling you, this went downhill real fast.
I saw the tattoo. It's on a Celtics bar. I saw the other arm, by the way.
No, oh, okay, yeah. That would just be paradise, right? Yeah.
But you should go in there.
Get jumped?
Dude, no. I used to wear the wrong jerseys at bars on purpose. It's fun. Dude, that's what sports is about.
The music turns off. Everybody. Like,
wear a Cowboys jersey to an Eagles bar. Ooh, we did that. Awesome. It was fun.
That's awesome. No, seriously, guys, thank you. This was a blast. I look forward to bringing the wife out here. She'll be out here later this week, so we might be back pretty
soon. Right on.
Yeah, I appreciate it. This was really fun.
I would love for you to meet my husband. He's the fun face of everything.
Okay,
I think.
Sounds good.
I'm just the giggly one.
Well, we'll keep in touch, and if we can make it work, we'll come back this week. I'd love for you to meet the wife too, because she's a ball. She's a handful.
Man, how cool is that? And I can't BS you not, guys. They were so down to earth. The son, like I said, 16, cooking in the kitchen. And, you know, I was just trying to give him advice because he was, you know, he's just getting into it. And you can tell he's got a lot of potential. He had a lot of passion behind. And I seen a lot of me in him when I was his age. So I was like, hey, so I just wanted to give him some words of advice, especially what to look forward to in the future. But again, how fun were they? Janelle was a good time. So now we head over to Dirt Dog. And now that we go to Dirt Dog, I actually had Kelly here with me on this one, and we go down and talk to the manager, Jose, who I had now seen 3 different times in the 2 days prior. So let's go down, talk to Jose, and get his backstory. And again, this is a cool one because he's just getting into Las Vegas. The company opened up a new location, and they asked him to show up, and sure enough, he said, let's do it. Check out this story, and look how fun the guy is. And again, even throughout the interview, he's ready to go eat. Like, he keeps, like, walking away so he can go eat. Damn it. Just fun. Again, guys, I'm very fortunate to be doing this podcast. I love this stuff. And again, it's really amazing to me how much people open up when you walk in and you say, hey, how you doing? And you start chatting with people. You get some of the best conversations and best moments that happen that you can't predict, right? So again, it's a pleasure to do this kind of stuff. I enjoy having this kind of content coming back for you guys. It's fun. And again, it means a lot that, you know, you guys listen and you guys reach out. It goes both ways. So again, enjoy this next one because I know you guys are. All right, let's check out Dirt Dog with manager Jose. Alrighty, guys, we are here at a place we've been to twice this week. I've been there twice in 2 days. Kelly got in last night and decided, hey, we gotta go eat.
Yep.
And our buddy Chris was in town. So what better place than Dirt Dog, which I had told you about the night before? How good was it?
Yeah, Julie went on and on about this place, talking about the El Elote Cup, and it was so fire. And he tried like 7 different things, and that the people there were so nice. And he was like, I tried everything. And he took pictures of it. And so he brought Chris and I last night. And he was right. It was amazing. I mean, whatever we tried deep fried Oreos. We tried deep fried Twinkies. I had a dirt dog. He had a dirty dirt dog. It was dirty great. Dog. Everything we had was on point.
And to back it up, Chris, who comes all the time, was like, yes. Hey, I come all the time to Vegas. That was probably the best hot dog I've ever had in Vegas. And as long as we've been coming, that says something.
And half the battle, or half the point, why you wanted to bring us back is why. This man in front of us.
I told you, I was standing there. You guys, I tell you guys about making these connections. I was standing in front of the counter the first night, just checking shit out, started with the videos, you guys already know. And so it caught his attention, and he asked, hey, what's up, man, what you doing? Hey, man, then it started, bam, this is what I do. I would love to come chat with you. After that moment, he sent me with a bag full of food back to the room. I went back to the room, recorded the mukbang. I can put the video footage over all of this. Recorded the mukbang, but my headphones audio was connected, so it came out shitty. But that's okay, because even better, as you see right in front of you, we have the manager, Jose. How are you, brother?
Good,
nice
man,
to
yourself?
Meet you, man. Seriously, meeting you the other night, I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome. I went back home telling her about it, and then she came in the next day. I was like, we're going. We're absolutely going. So again, can you tell us a little bit about Dirt Dog, where it started, how long you've been with the company?
So we started in 2013, originally, mm-hmm. In Los Angeles, right on Figueroa and, Figueroa and Adams.
Okay.
And I've been with the company now for 11 months now.
Okay.
So, now I'm at the Fremont location, from LA to Fremont.
And that just happened, right? They just, hey, would you like to go help out in the Fremont?
Yeah, you want to make the trip? Like, what's up? Like, you ready? Like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. Like, let's shoot. Like, that's what it is. Yeah.
So, and how are you liking it so far? Any real battles, challenges you guys are dealing with as far as the beginning?
Right now, it's just really just letting people know that we're here this location. Yeah. So everyone knows that the strip location, the rainbow location. Right. So as soon as we get going with here, I'm pretty sure everything's just gonna pick up a lot faster.
And they can see the background, the wall. They can see a little bit of the Las Vegas sign. It's right under Slotzilla, guys. I mean, it's right here. You guys can see the hot dogs on the paintings on the walls. I mean, walk in here, say hi. Now, what I tried the other night, you recommended, you're like, oh, this is my favorite, right? So I bought hot dogs, I bought some deep fried foods to take back to the room. Tell me what you gave me in the little cup.
So in the cup is the flaming esquite. We also have a lesser spicy version, which is the dirty esquite.
Okay.
But the flaming esquite, it's lime mayo that we make in-house, and then it's corn, top it off again, and then more lime mayo, and it's hot Cheeto dust that we mix with extreme hot Cheetos, Takis, and a little bit of chipotle aioli that we also make in-house, and cilantro. Nice. Your choice whether you want bacon bits or not, but you know. And then the other one, the dirty esquite, pretty much the same setup, except it goes with cotija cheese at the top, and then it's chili powder, cilantro, and that one does come with bacon bits.
Yeah.
But yeah, the flame esquite was all you right there.
When I sat down, I was like, all right, I'm going to try these hot dogs. The hot dogs were great, and I was like, look, I don't even know what this is. I started digging into it, and I just couldn't stop eating it. Yeah. I just kept going and going in. And last night, when I came back, I told the guy in front, I was like, hey, I'm getting that thing again, and he's like, oh, did you like it? I go, like, it's an understatement. I couldn't stop eating. He's like, all right, we're going to put bacon in it this time. I was like, dude, yeah, it was really, really good. So I wanted to come on, have you on, talk about customer service, because that's big. Anywhere in Las Vegas, we've been coming for years, and we've been turned off by customer service, and we've also made locks just because of customer service, and that's the reason solely to go back.
Of course.
So, customer service we had last night, her first experience, my last two nights, I'm like, you know what, this is a must, dude. We're all about the businesses. I've been out to a few different businesses this week, and this is one I was like, hey, we have to talk about, we have to get you on, dude, because you're just so presentable, very approachable, and like, at the same time, hey, this is what we have to offer, this is what I like, I recommend you try it, and it goes a long way, right?
And so, loving what you do. And loving what you do.
So, what would you recommend for a first-timer coming down here to try?
So, we do have the house dog. The house dog's probably like our go-to dog.
Okay.
We do advertise a lot the patty melt dog, like on social media. Okay. It looks nice.
Yeah.
It's a monster. It's got fries, cheese, chipotle, and the bacon bits. So, yeah, so it's you see it and you're like, whoa.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think it's like a real eye catcher.
Yeah.
But maybe like a first-timer, I would do the house dog just because... the house dog, it's ketchup, mayo, mustard, and then you got the grilled veggies, and it's marinated with Thousand Island sauce.
Nice.
A lot of people don't know that it is mixed in together, so like a lot of people get turned off by like the dressing, and they go, don't want it. Like, we haven't tried it, but that's probably the go-to one for sure.
Okay. Now, one thing I do want to touch on, because our buddy Chris was just amazed by the bread of the hot dogs.
Tell us
about those, please.
The lobster roll.
Lobster roll. It is, okay.
A lot of people like to say, oh, is that kind of like the Texas toast?
Yes.
Well, this is what they serve with the lobster, and that's why it has that shape.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we butter it up, throw it on the grill, and then you get that nice little burn on the side.
Yeah. So, a little Parmesan too, right? A little crusted?
Yeah, it has that little edge to it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
Phenomenal. And then that's every hot dog?
It is not. Okay. At the LA locations, we do offer a traditional bun and then a pretzel bun as well.
Okay.
Over here, just for the same reason that we advertise mainly on the lobster roll. So that's like anywhere you go on the other locations, you go, oh, well, that's what it comes with. Yeah, that's what it comes with. So a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what we push the most.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And it's good. Yeah. So there's a great reason to push it.
It's amazing. I'm about to go eat one right after.
Hurry up! I want to be done already. So you mentioned there's something new coming up today, right?
We actually just started our secret menu. Some things are still getting approved and everything. So right now, as we sit, we're on the DUI dog.
Okay.
So a DUI dog. I mean.
There's a DUI fry already.
There is a DUI fry, so it just gets it. All that gets transferred on to the dog.
Oh,
and
nice.
If you had the DUI fries before.
Okay, what's on the DUI fries?
DUI fries. So we got DUI fries, and it comes with pastrami, carne asada, chipotle, and then cilantro and bacon bits.
So we just ate it. I'm getting hungry.
I mean, if you're gonna add a frank, bacon wrap in there, and that bread, I mean, you're in for a long night right there.
And so somebody who's super daring wants to go hot, what do you recommend?
We either got the red dog or the flaming dog.
Okay.
The red dog's, it's a little more on the lighter side, so it doesn't have as many toppings on it. It's more like the veggies, and that's marinated in the hot sauce, our habanero sauce, tomato sauce, and then chili flakes and bacon bits.
Okay. Nice.
So that is a little more spicier side for sure. Yeah.
So one thing I do want to not forget to mention is your spicy ketchup.
The spicy ketchup.
That spicy ketchup is delicious, man. I got the first night, I think I got the Dirty fries.
Dirty fries, yes.
And I got the spicy ketchup. Yeah. Boy, those things are good. And last night we got the regular fries. So even Babe said, she was like, okay, the fries were good. I was like, yes, but they could have been better. We could have gotten a different version of
and
fries.
And I said, but we were already full. We walked in and we ate the desserts, which were great.
So you have to pace yourself. What is the cream?
The cream that you do.
Oh, yes, Chata Whip.
That's what it is. Okay. Oh. We were talking about it. The first night I'm sitting there, I thought, not sour cream.
Yeah, he's like, you have to try it with the dip. So the chata dip is to die for. So the chata dip is an item
that comes with the fried Twinkie and the fried Oreos.
Right.
Also for our churros.
And churros.
So you can order a churro and it comes with
it. We didn't do the churro this time.
Are we done yet? I'm ready to go do churros. No, seriously. Guys, if you can't tell, look.
The whip is great. Yeah, I mean, it's a great, it makes it.
It really does make it. And if you're not a sweethead, I'm not a sweethead.
It's not, but I am.
It's good. It's still good. And it's not too much.
It wasn't overpowering.
Right.
It just gave it The nice compliment to finish the fried off. Yeah, it was good.
Seriously, guys, if you can't tell, obviously we enjoy the place. We've already been here this is now 3 days in a row. We are going to eat. But Jose, seriously, thank you for taking a second with us. We're a newer channel. We are all about podcasting and getting the word out. So we recently started YouTube. So visiting places like this, doing things like this, and just getting to meet people like you is a fucking honor, dude. I love it. I appreciate
it. Thank you guys for coming. We appreciate it too.
We'll see you soon, brother.
Fremont Street, under Slotzilla, Dirt Dog.
Get down here, guys.
Get dirty.
I swear, folks, I can't say enough cool things about everybody that I got a chance to talk to in these interviews. Everybody was a blast. And again, just sitting here going through the footage, doing the editing right now is so much fun. I'm laughing as I'm going and recapping some of this stuff. And again, everybody that I interviewed and spent time with in this episode, thank you again, and just thank you so much for the time. So much fun doing this stuff, guys. I enjoy it so much. If you can't tell, just with the content I'm coming back with and bringing to you guys, I hope you guys are understanding that when I'm out there, I'm always thinking of different ways to create stuff. So again, guys, I appreciate all the feedback, all the love, but do me a favor, share this episode out so all of these folks in these interviews get to see that, hey, people actually listen to this and these recommendations are worth checking out. So again, to everybody on the show, thank you so much for this episode. Was an absolute honor to do. Again, guys, thank you so much for listening. Remember, if you're new around here, definitely check us out on social media. And again, thank you to all of our Patreon members. And until next week, folks, cheers.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance. Crush a speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly. When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it. You better gain weight. You better hit bullseye. The kid don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it. Tempo. I'm on a roll, it's time to go solo. Rollin', hit my 5.0, put my rag top down so my hair can blow. The girl is on standby, waiting just to say hi.
Did you stop?
No, I just drove by, kept on, pursuing to the next stop. I bust a left and I'm heading to the next block. The block was dead, yo, so I continue to A1A.
Beachfront Avenue!
Girls were hot, wearing less than bikinis. Rock men lovers, driving Lamborghinis.
Jealous,
cause I'm out getting mine. Shade with the gauge and vanilla with the nine.
Ready!
For the chumps on the wall, the chumps acting ill because they're full of eight ball. Gunshots ranged out like a bell. I grabbed my nine, all I heard was shells
falling
on the concrete real fast. Jumped in my car, slammed on the gas. Bumper to bumper, the avenue's packed. I'm trying to get away before the jack is jacked.
Police on the scene,
you know what I mean? They passed me up, could run it all the dope fiends. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook when my DJ revolves it.
Ice, ice.
DJ revolves it. Yo, man, let's get out of here. Word to your mother. Ice, ice, baby.